You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, now brought to you by Hotels.com. You're locked in with Derek Ciapalla. It is Friday, guys. Angels coming off an 8-7 victory over the White Sox last night. I am not talking about that today, though, because I have a little something else I had in mind, and that is the farm system and the organizational philosophy overall. I want to dig deep with Diamond Digest Jared Timms and see what he's got to say about the overall farm system, some of the concerns we have about it, and also the direction of the Angels in terms of their philosophy on the field. I have several questions there. I want to address those. But also, what I do want to say is, this is my second time hosting the show, and I have not even remotely introduced myself. I can't believe it. Seriously? I was so intense last week about coming on and doing a great job that I forgot to tell you who I was. I am Derek Ciapalla. I host Rams Talk Radio and Talking Halos on my own little network, and I very much appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk some Angels baseball today. Okay, before you hop right into it, don't forget to download today's show or any episodes on the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the new Himalaya podcasting app, free and easy to download through our Apple app or Google Play Store. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels, and you can follow me at D. Ciapalla. I want to immediately just jump in and welcome Jared to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How's things going with you?
Let's talk about me. I was just thinking of that TLC song and I realized how bad it was. Is it even TLC? I don't know. All right. So let's really just jump in here and discuss the Angels farm system. I know you've been very vocal in your beliefs in this system online. You've been dealing with some folks I would consider our naysayers. That's the nicer way to say it. And I've also been dealing with it. Someone was talking Halos. I look at what is going on with this franchise, and I kind of see it as they're close in so many ways, but there are serious question marks within the organization if they can take that next step. So can you kind of guide me through the overall philosophy of the Angels farm system right now and break it down for us?
Yeah, you know, I think the overall kind of game plan is in. You're seeing it, and everybody, I mean, I guess is kind of right about it. You know, there's not a lot of pitching, and I don't think that's something that, I mean, they're worried about it, but I don't think they're too worried about producing pitchers down in the system. I mean, they're looking at you, there's a lot of guys that are going to be probably, you know, solid relievers, good relievers, and guys that exactly how the Angels work, you know, bringing guys up, sending guys 20-man bullpen almost with the amount of guys we've seen. And we're going to continue to see a lot of those guys produce down in the minors. There's really probably not a whole lot of starting pitching down there, and that's just kind of the way that they're working things. And honestly, it seems to kind of work. You look at, I mean, if you want to jump into next offseason, that's something that they're going to address, is they're going to go get some starting pitching. It's already been, you know, publicly addressed. I think almost every writer has written about the Angels' woes about pitching. And I mean, it's not something that you can fix this year. And it's not something that you know, that's going to happen overnight. But it's definitely something that they're going to address. And look down the farm, there's a handful of guys that are going to pitch, who are going to be starters. You look at, you know, Chris Rodriguez, Hector Yan, Luis Madero, those type of guys. And then, you know, you have your handful of guys who are going to be real relievers, who are going to give you multiple inning guys as well, you know, 1 to 3 innings, which is kind of what the Angels are building around at the big at the big league level too. So that's, I think, their philosophy is just they're going to produce a lot of hitting, and the farm system rankings really, really show that. So,
well, here's my question. I got two questions really about what you just said. First one being the immediate one, the farm system rankings. Like I said earlier, 12 to 15 has usually been the average when the team started this season about where the farm is. And as the seasons wore on, we've now seen it drop to about 22. What are the factors that are involved with that drop?
I could take the easy way out and say, you know, that we had, the Angels had a lot of guys that graduated. You know, you had Canning, Theis will be graduating soon, you know, Jake Jewell, those guys. But also you do have somewhat of a lot of question marks, and the Angels did go kind of, I guess, high risk, high reward in some of their drafts, and it has paid off. You look at Joe Adell and Brandon Marsh and those type of guys, but also there's a lot of question marks, and there's a lot of guys, you know, in the lower systems. You look at Orem or even the AZL or Burlington, and those are pretty solid teams all around. When you look at, there's probably 5 to 7 top 100 guys on each of those teams. So yeah, there's not a lot of guys in the upper, you know, double A, triple A, even high A that are gonna really produce. I mean, you have Marsh. Jamai Jones hasn't had, you know, a Jamai Jones type year, so that's kind of why we've seen him kind of off the table a little bit, from being a 100 top 100 guy, you know, to probably out of the top 100. But yeah, I think that's really why that seen the drop in the farm system rankings, is there's just a lot of question marks, and there's a lot of guys in the lower systems that once we see those guys start moving up to IA, AA, even AAA, you'll see the farm system ranking go back up, as well as, you know, you get a couple drafts under your belt too. That'll help. So
that brought in our question. I want to hold that before I forget the first one. The first one was this. You just mentioned starting pitching and the fact that the Angels really have not put a premium on it. I think that's true for the most part, although we saw them go hog wild in the last draft on pitchers, getting darn near 30 of them. So I think they're trying to address it. My question really is this. Why on earth would they focus so much on hitting and what's going to amount to a bunch of relievers when the premium in the sport is pitching? That really kind of puts you in the eight hole when it comes down to finding pitchers that you need. Like, they have to go get in free agency. They have to, in a way, I believe, overspend to get what they need this offseason.
Yeah, you know, I think it's not necessarily easy to produce relievers and offensive players and defensive players than it is starting pitching, especially with the amount of injuries that pitchers, you know, go through, whether you are a starter or reliever. But I just think it is a little bit easier to produce hitters, and I think the Angels are doing a fantastic job of that down in the farm system. And I really think, I've said this since day one, I've said it, you know, on Twitter, I've said it in a couple articles that I've written, I think that they're really mimicking what the Cubs did and how they built. I mean, the Cubs have been a really good team now for quite a few years, coming up ever since they won the World Series and before that. And I think the Angels are really trying to go around that a little bit. And they really produce their team off of, you know, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, offensive guys. They went out and they got John Lester, and they went out and got Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish and those type of guys. I mean, it's tough to produce. And you look at their bullpen, they had, you know, Carl Edwards and, you know, a couple of those guys who were homegrown. I think kind of what the Angels are going for is they're gonna look to produce hitters and produce role players. And, you know, we see it with David Fletcher, Luis Renifo, Joe Adell, who will be up soon, Brandon Marsh, and Mike Trout, obviously Shohei Ohtani. And then you go out and you get pitching, whether, you know, it's, they already have Griffin Canning and Jose Suarez and Andrew Heaney, or you go out and, you know, maybe get a guy like Garrett Cole or Madison Bumgarner, whoever, you know, they go after this offseason. So,
well, here's the thing, though, is with free agency, there's no actual guarantee you're going to get these guys. Even if you offer to overpay them, they still have to want to come back, or even they still have to want to go to California to play in Anaheim instead of playing, say, in New York or in Chicago or for the Dodgers. So I don't know that that makes a whole lot of sense. So can you help explain the whole reasoning behind going in that direction instead of focusing a little more on the production of starting pitching in the organization?
Yeah, I honestly, at the end of the day, I just think it's a little bit, you know, easier. I mentioned the injuries. Pitchers are so injury prone. I mean, we've seen it with the Angels. It's a tough thing to do, to put 6 guys in a rotation and all of them start 30 to 35 games a year. It's unheard of this year, or in this age, that pitchers do that. So I think you kind of put all your marbles into free agency or to make you a couple trades, and guys who are proven that I can do that, I guess proven, and define starting pitching these days, especially with guys only going 5 innings and, you know, being that the bullpen is such a key thing now. I think that I don't want to say the starting pitching is going away in a way, just because you do have so many elite starting pitchers, but I do think that starting pitching is slipping away from modern day baseball in a way. You're just not seeing, you know, what it used to be, where, you know, guys are going complete games. I mean, Andrew Heaney last night threw the longest game since Tyler Skaggs this year. And then since he did it, you just don't see how many times, I could probably count on one hand how many times that an Angels pitcher has gone over 6-7 innings in a start, probably 7 innings, because I know guys are going 6 innings. But it's tough to really get pitching and produce pitching. And, you know, just, I think that in a way, teams, not just the Angels, all 30 teams in the major leagues are just kind of banking on guys that are already been produced. And it's a tough thing to do these days, especially with injuries. I think the injuries really hurt.
Here's my concern with that, though. My concern is, if that is the way if baseball is going, then you're setting yourself up for a lot of teams collapsing. For example, the Angels this year, and the starting pitching already wasn't very good. Then you lose Tyler. We've seen many of our starting pitchers go down this year to injury. They have not been producing overall. Long term for baseball, especially given the fact that we've seen it live, firsthand with the Angels, that bullpen wears out come July and August when you're already throwing a bunch of things in May and June. We're seeing it now. We've seen it live. We've seen guys like Buttrey fall off. I don't see how that is productive for the sport. And also, knowing the Angels, they are, I believe, now last in the league in quality start. So it's not like they are the average team doing this. In the back end, we still have several teams that have decent starting pitching and are able to really save that bullpen. So with all that in mind, what's the happy medium here in terms of baseball philosophy heading into the next decade?
It's funny. I think Kevin Youkilis actually just tweeted it, and I saw it, and he said almost exactly what you said, just in 240 words or whatever letters or whatever that is. He mentioned, when are the analytics guys going to tone down the analytics a little bit? And when is just normal baseball going to come into play? I mean, you got to kind of find a happy medium, exactly what you said. And I think really that's kind of where baseball is, in a way. I don't know if it's feasible for organizations to continue to do this, especially to their pitchers. In a way, they're kind of running through their pitchers like NFL teams kind of run through running backs, in a way. I mean, teams are just going through pitchers left and right, and we saw it last night. I mean, JC Ramirez was outrighted, or I guess it was last night, right? Yeah. JC Ramirez was outrighted to Triple A. I mean, he might not be an Angel come 3-4 days from now, and it's a tough thing to do. And I think a lot of teams, it's not just Angels, if you look at a lot of teams, they're using a lot of relievers. I mean, the Dodgers are doing a great job of it, and I think that's the Astros are doing it too. They're just, teams are going through a lot of relievers, and you know, a lot of people forget that baseball's a lot of luck. I mean, to win 100 games is incredible in a season. To go to the playoffs is just as hard, and to win a World Series, you need a lot of luck, and you need players not to get hurt and along the way. And that's just kind of what good teams, you know, the Astros, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Yankees, that's half their rosters hurt, and they have a lot of depth, so that definitely helps them. But it's a lot of luck that goes into this, and the Angels have just been an unlucky team, kind of is an understatement. They've just been incredibly unlucky in the past 5 years with injuries.
We want to get into all of that and more, especially organizational philosophy. There are some concerns there that you're already starting to address. Before we get there, though, we do want to talk about our sponsor, Postmates. These are personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service, all year round, just for you. For a limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On listeners $100 and free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Download the Postmates app and use the code Locked On. That's right, use the code Locked On and try it out. Postmates is the place to be. And we'll be right back with more Locked On Angels afterward from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You're locked in with Derek Ciappala. So, Jared, just one more thing here on that ranking, the 22 ranking. Overall, do you believe it's justified right now based on what you're seeing?
I think that when you're around a team enough, or an organization enough, should I say, and for me, I'm in the Empire once a week if I can, or every homestand, should I say, and I'm looking at the scores, and I know the players, and it's tough to justify for myself without being really biased that they are in the 20s, but I'd say it probably is justified at where we stand right now and all the question marks and the guys being down in the lower minor leagues, that the 20th ranking makes sense. I'd put them still probably in the 15 to 17 range. I think that Joe Adell is kind of like the Angels minor league Mike Trout in a way, and that brings them up so much. And the fact that they've had so many guys graduate this year definitely helps that out and proves that the farm system is producing and doing well. But yeah, you know, I could definitely see a way that this organization could be a 20 to 25. So yeah, makes sense.
My thinking is this. You had a bunch of guys graduate. You have Joe Adell, and there is that crew hovering between the major leagues and the AAA level, which is basically your young core. Also, add that in, you have that really young group of kids that we see a lot of promise with in the lower levels that are just starting their development. The negative here is what you mentioned earlier, the lack of starting pitching development, but also there's a pretty big gap, like you mentioned, between AAA, double A and high A, to where these core players that are just kind of coming up now, the Matt Tices of the world, the Jared Walshes, the ones who are kind of hovering in between, the pitchers as well, they need to work, because if not, it's going to be a while before we see some real movement from the minor league system to help out that major league roster. That's what I'm seeing. And that's why I think it's understandable that somebody would rank it at 22. I believe more along your lines. I think right now after the graduations, I think you take into account it's probably 17, 18. And early in the year, the 12 to 15 was probably just as justified. And then we'll see how things rank out come beginning of next season when we've had a full off season of fall baseball, winter baseball, to see how some of these guys develop. But right now, that's what I'm seeing.
Oh, no, I agree with you there. It's definitely, I think, in the 15 to 20 range, you can put them in that lower half of the 20s, which makes sense as well, and lack of pitching. And we didn't even mention a guy like Jeremiah Jensen, who is absolutely scorching the ball in Orem, which is rookie ball. So a guy who's a question mark down in the lower minors. So, yeah, you know, it's totally justifiable, and we're going to have a little bit of a gap before we see some more guys who can really produce up in the major league level again. So, yeah, but I do think that they have some quick risers as well. So we could definitely see some guys 2020, 2021. I think they're going to continue to produce. It's not going to be the lull that we saw back in the 2012, 2015, 2016, 2017 when there was nobody coming up from the Angels farm system, you know? So I think that time of, you know, age is over. I think that we'll see guys come up now every year and produce at the major league level, which will be really fun to see now.
All right, Jared. So one of the things I wanted to address here was the difference in organizational structure. Now, this is coming from a conversation I had with a gentleman from another podcast, Dan Garcia, after he was referencing my podcast. And I have an issue with the way the Angels right now are scoring runs. What I mean is this. Teams right now seem to be moving towards this one philosophy, just base to base, relying on the home run. The old school stuff, that things like that produced the Angels World Series, small ball, manufacturing runs, that's going away. My concern is this. What is the Angels' organizational philosophy towards producing runs? Because when you're struggling, like they have been of late, swinging a lot, missing, so on and so forth, being able to manufacture runs really matters and can save you some wins. But yet, we don't see a whole lot of that from them.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, especially for me, especially who I love the long ball. It's one of those things that everybody loves home runs, but there's also a side of me that says, hey, you know, why don't we hit and run, and why don't we go out and sack bunt? I mean, not just the Angels, it's, you know, everybody as a whole. You know, you just don't see it around the major leagues anymore. And me coming out of college, that's all we do. It's a lot of bunting. It's a lot of hard-nosed baseball. We're stealing bases out there. It's a lost art almost, seeing a guy deal second base and then, you know, the hitter hit it in the 3-4 hole. It's a lost cause going from first to third anymore. So yeah, you know, I don't have a clear answer to that, unfortunately. It was brought to my attention last time I went to a game. Me and my buddy, we're sitting there, and it's just the stat comes up. Luis Renifo had 41 stolen bases in the minor leagues last year. And he's like, well, why does he only have one stolen base this year? The Angels don't want to give outs away. And I believe that, as weird as that sounds, sacrifice bunting and trying to hit and run and even now stealing bases is, in a way, you know, giving outs away. They would rather not take the risk of stealing a base or laying a bunt down rather than going out there and taking that opportunity to try to get a guy in scoring position or get a guy to first to third and have runners on first and third with one out, no outs on a hit and run or sack bunt or anything like that. So like we talked about before, you know, the commercial, that it's just kind of going away from baseball. And I think going to bring up the Kevin Youkilis quote. I believe that's who said it. Quote again, and there's got to be a happy median in baseball eventually. I don't know where that's going to be, but unfortunately, I don't know if it's going to be with stolen bases and hit and runs and sacrifice bunts and first to third and all that fun stuff, because teams are, the numbers say don't do that. You know, it's more of a risk to lay down a bunt and give one of your 27 outs away than it is to try to hit a home run or walk. So you know, I don't really have a good answer for that. I hope that I'd like, you know, teams get back to hard-nosed college baseball. And even in the minors, I mean, I think that's kind of how you work your way up, is hard-nosed, you know, guys that can bunt, guys that can steal, showing off your speed a little bit, placing the ball on a hit and run. I think we see that a lot more in the minors than we do the major leagues. And it's all about the numbers. That's the best answer I have. It's all about the numbers.
So you are, and this is my last question here. So you are saying you do see this more in the minors, though. You see more fundamental baseball.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's all about how you show your organization that you can do stuff. Major leaguers don't not know how to bunt. You go all the pros during batting practice, even Albert Pujols, even Mike Trout, even if they're just kind of messing around, and Mike Trout and Albert Pujols probably are never going to bunt ever again. You know, Justin Upton's not going to bunt, but every major leaguer, no matter who you are, knows how to lay a bunt down, and it's, you know, it's a lost art in a way. Mike Trout was putting bunts down his rookie year. I mean, it's probably a sophomore year too, beating out singles. So you look at the way that teams shift players now, it's going to probably come back, and I think I'd like to see a lot more guys try to lay that bunt down. But then again, if the guy doesn't get the bunt down, no matter who you are, even if it's on a ship and you get out, then that's one of your 27 outs. So yeah, you got to kind of find that happy median. I don't know where it's at. I don't have a clear answer for you there, but yes, in the minor leagues, you do see it happen a lot more for sure.
All right, Jared, thanks so much for taking time today. Can you tell people where they can find you? Tell people where they can find all of your work.
Yeah, you can find me. I'm going to keep writing and writing a little bit on Diamond Digest. You can find majority of my work, though, on Twitter. I like to tweet a lot at Jared_Thames.
All right. Thanks again so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And we'll be talking again soon.
Absolutely. You guys have a good one.
All right. Well, it is about time for us to go again. Thanks for Jared Thames for coming on the show today. I really appreciate him taking the time. It's a busy day for him. It's a busy day for me as I'm getting ready to go back to teaching. But before I go, I want to end this show looking back at what we're talking about here. The farm system, I think there's a lot of things you can justify. There's a lot of good things about it. It's not perfect. It's very unbalanced. I think that's why you see a 22. There is talent there. There's depth there. I admit, solely there's not a whole lot of superstar talent, especially when it comes to pitching. There are a couple gems that hopefully will be shined up. There's a lot of hope there. My concern is the top-heavy, bottom-heavy part, a lot of stuff in the middle that remains to be seen. I think in a lot of cases, you can justify easily 22, especially with graduations, but you can also look at it and go, it's a better farm system that overall, it's missing some of that star power, though, that you need in terms of producing. We'll see how it turns out. You got a lot of young guys who just got drafted, I think, have a lot of potential. I'm pretty high on a couple of them. But the overall organizational philosophy is what concerns me as a, I guess, as a fan of the game and also someone who watches a ton of it, analyzes a ton of it. The movement away from small ball techniques is concerning. And the reason why is because sometimes your bats do go silent. Sometimes you struggle. We've seen that recently with the Angels lineup. We have a lot of good bats in there, but everybody slumps and you have to be able to produce runs sometimes. I'm not sure I buy the philosophy that you're wasting an out by bunting somebody over or going for the steal. That's a concern for me. That's a huge concern for me because when it comes down to winning baseball, only having one track to that, which is station to station, often does not lead you to success long term because things happen. Injuries happen. Pitching, we've seen a ton of injuries and a lot of weird things happen there. It's never a given that every year is going to go your way or even every month or series is going to go your way. You have to be able to score runs in different ways. You have to be able to win in different ways. And I think this is bad for the game long term because winning baseball is actually playing baseball. I would make a pretty strong argument that just going base to base is not full baseball. It's becoming this, I would even say, not evolution of the game, but almost a de-evolution of the game. A one-track mind, guys need to be able to bunt. They need to be able to produce. And part of that, even if you fail, is forcing opposing defenses, those fielders at third base, first base, shortstop, to rethink how they're playing the ball, forcing managers to consider there are other things you're going to do to them. So long-term here, would say the Angels really do need to look at an organizational shift back into a little bit of small ball thinking. Not a whole bunch. Bring back some of these fundamentals. You don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to be the Yankees. You don't have to be the Twins or the Indians or anybody else. You can just be the Angels and have a philosophy that affords you different options when you need them. And I'm concerned that what we see right now at the Angels is a one-track mind. And that will not work long-term. And it's definitely not working when a team slumps. Okay, so time to get out of here. Don't forget to download today's show or any of the episodes on the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya Podcast app. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. And you can follow me personally at DC Apollo. You can also, if you like the job I did, you can also find more of me on Talking Halos with my partner John Crane. And don't worry, Locked On folks, you can listen to both, man. Trust me, I listen to Locked On all the time. I really enjoy the work Taylor does. He adds a different aspect than what we do. And honestly, it's his show, this show, is one of the best podcasts out there for baseball fans to enjoy. As a reminder, that today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. And finally, Taylor Blake Ward, dude, honestly, seriously, You got a fun gig here. I cannot believe he went on vacation that long. What is wrong with him to just be gone, just jet out here like that when you could be podcasting every day? Shame, 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 man, shame. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. For Locked On Angels, I'm Derek Ciapolla. We'll see ya, I believe, for the Sunday Night Q&A. Take it easy. We're out of here.